keep me in your wagon and I'll churn your butter.
Oh.
Wink.
I may not be able to churn butter, but I know how to churn up trouble.
Oh,
that's really good.
Wait a second. That's actual material right there.
Well, I do know how to churn butter because I'm what? Legendary.
Oh my God, those were actually good.
They were. Well, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis.
And I'm Tara.
And this is Privileged Twinks,
a podcast where we recap the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
And this week, that voice you're hearing is my mom!
Mom!
Who we teased with maybe being on last week, and it's coming true.
Yes.
Well, what'd you guys think?
The end was good.
Yeah. We watched half of the episode last night and half today, and I was like, that's kind of a boring episode. And then we finished it, and I was like, oh, that's actually good.
Right. They, you know, they...
They save the best for last,
right?
Kind of a thing.
They said, let's get this boring stuff out of the way.
Well, I don't even feel like that much of the boring stuff was that pertinent.
Yeah.
Heather and them plan the trip. I mean, we'll go over it.
Right.
We always do this.
Do we just want to get into it?
But it could be that we're watching it at 2:30 this morning and it's just...
Yeah, I say last night. Technically, we watched it in the wee hours of this morning.
Yes. We're in the middle of Thanksgiving festivities and... attempted to watch it last night and failed.
Yeah.
And I kept falling asleep.
Mom kept falling asleep. I had been doing some shots with my brother and I was reading my notes today and I was like, Whitney got brunch with Whitney. So, but I went back and reacquainted myself with it. But yeah, kind of boring episode, good ending. And I guess we'll just, oh, I did want to say, people online were saying that, well, the rumor was Mary wasn't going to be at the reunion and Jen was going to Skype in, but
the opposite
ended up happening. Andy apparently told everyone that Mary did come and they will not Skype Jen in. I think he's just over Jen too.
Yeah, that was a rumor I was not pleased to hear.
Yeah,
and I'm glad it's not true.
I will say though, our group chat was pretty pleased to hear it.
No.
Really?
I feel like it was pretty split.
I know at least three people said no. Like, that would be bad.
I just don't think she deserves their time.
I agree. I mean, she's...
Right.
At the end of the day, she's a bad person.
Yeah. Like, really. Like, all things aside. Was she good TV? I think she was a very toxic TV personality. However, there's a place for that, and it can be entertaining. And she did bring stuff to the show. But she is an actual criminal who, like, knowingly, you know...
Hurt people.
Defrauded people. Yeah. Like, no more Jen.
Yeah.
We're done.
Exactly.
Yeah. I saw this video on TikTok, and it was like... I don't know who the woman was, but it's this woman with, like, really fake face and big butt. And she's just, like, dancing to a song, and it's like... Jinshaw dancing after she scammed your grandma.
Oh no.
That's bad.
Well, I think before we jump into the recap, I do want, since this is your first time on the podcast, I think you should say,
yes.
Who is your house, your Salt Lake City stan? Who do you love the most and who you do you like the least?
What was the first one?
Who do you like the most and who do you like the least?
Okay. Well, I definitely like Heather the most. I have since the very first episode of the very first season. She's always been my favorite, even though she had a slow season. And my worst is, I'd say right now, Lisa is falling to my bottom.
I kind of agree.
How did you feel about Heather and Jen's relationship last year? That didn't really tarnish Heather for you?
That's what I said. Last season, she fell off for me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was not, but I still was rooting for her in my soul because I really connected with her at the beginning.
Right.
And like her a lot. So it did tarnish it, but it's back again.
It wasn't enough to wreck it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree. I do like Heather. And mm-hmm. she also does remind me of like you or like your friends a little bit sometimes. Just the way that she... I don't know, treats her kids and also is just really funny all the time.
I love her sense of humor. And I really do think she's smart in some of the things that she says to her friends. I mean, I think she is like the head of reason a lot of times. She was at the beginning of the, when the show first started.
Yeah.
She's not as much now. That's why she kind of fell off for me a little bit, but I still
really
this
season, she's trying to reel it back in. She's mm-hmm. hosting every event. She's hosting the trips.
Mm-hmm.
Mom just bought me the Bad Mormon book to read.
Yeah, so.
Which I'm sure we both will read. Yeah, or all three of us will read.
Yeah.
She started reading it today while we were at my dad's house. Did you like it so far?
I do. I like. It's funny because you can see how even as a child, she was funny. I mean, you can see her humor coming through in her writing, but you can also see in some of the stories that she relates in the book that, or retells in the book, that she, even as a child, raised in a Mormon household where it was very strict and very confined and a small community, she still did things that were very Heather-like, mm-hmm. that was out of the realm of what you would think of in a Mormon household. I don't know if this is a spoiler or not, but she, at one point, she saw Jetsons episode, and she wanted to be, like, the robot that fixes all the meals and everything, with have the robot hands.
The nanny?
And the, yeah, the housekeeper. I forget her name, but anyway, Rosie. She wanted to be like Rosie. And so she took scissors as her, like, she had her hands and then had scissors as the little chopper things on Rosie's fingers. And she went to try to open her curtains with them, and it sliced the curtains.
That's cute.
And she was like 7. Mm. And her mom came home and was mortified because her brand new curtains had a hole in them. And then she was like, I didn't do it. It was the robot.
Whoever helps these people write their memoirs, like, I commend them. Because I, like, can't remember little. I mean, I guess I remember the main important ones, but it just feels, like, hard to, like, think back and have anecdotes about why you are the way you are today from when you were 7 or 5 or whatever.
Yeah, they must have asked them, like, a million questions and then kind of find a thread.
True.
Through what they're saying.
Right.
Well.
So, but, yeah, it's interesting so far.
I hope book 2 is fiction. I want to know what kind of story she would make up.
Mormon romance.
Oh, that'd be steamy.
Ooh.
Or would it?
She removes the layers of garments. Not soaking.
Yeah.
Interestingly, though, and you know, like, I didn't know what to picture for garments because I've never seen garments. But she was saying in the book that her mom's garments were silky with lace on them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I pictured them as just like white cotton fabric.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm sure they have a variety of styles. I've seen some that are like, you know, they kind of looked a little piratey to me.
Well, I didn't picture it as like sexy. I mean, when you're talking
about. Well, maybe that's like a modern day interpretation of it kind of a thing. Well, kind of like.
Silken
like lace. Headscarves, like.
Yeah.
I'm sure didn't always have like cool patterns or something like that, but like right. It's a modern, I don't know.
Sure.
I'm also just talking, trying to find an example, so I might be fully wrong on that, so don't, sorry, don't quote me on that. All right, well, should we get into it?
We shall, we should, we will.
Speaking of Heather, we open with her FaceTiming her daughter, the one that lives in California, and she's like sad that she couldn't be at the book signing, and she's like, yeah, Lisa rapped, and then we had to watch that again. And she basically is just saying, like, she's going to throw this little Mormon get-together, which I kind of agree with you, like, last week. Like, I get that the book is Bad Mormon, whatever, but, like, why is she doing all these events that are, like, about Mormonism when she's, like, going away from Mormonism?
Because it's hard to divorce your religion from your culture, especially when they're so intertwined. And I think that's what she's really struggling with, is that she doesn't want to. She doesn't really want to participate in the church because of what it means and the things she doesn't agree with, like in a religious sense or spiritual sense, but the community it brings, she values.
True.
The people that she knows, she values, like the heritage and all that stuff.
That's exactly true.
Yeah.
And I think I've only read 4 chapters, but it very much changed the way I view what she was doing because you can tell in the book that she, like, she felt safe. She felt secure. She felt like that was how everybody was. She felt that that was her safe place, yeah. was her religious community and the church. And so, like you said, it's hard to get away from... When she thinks about those things, she thinks about safety and security.
Yeah.
Mm.
She doesn't think about the bad things of it as much as she thinks about how it made her feel. And yet, when she got older and she realized that just because she got divorced and they're going to, like, ostracize her, it was a real switch for her.
Yeah. It made me really sad when she was talking about how her mom... like, didn't take her side in the divorce.
I know, especially because
I'm sure she'll
her
talk
and
about
her
that.
Mom were very, very close. She idolized her mom and thought she was a wonderful mother. So that's really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's, I don't know. I'm not a parent, so I can't really say. I just think it's crazy you would drop your child over something like that.
I mean, people do it for
worse
being gay, too.
Oh, yeah, true.
Well, your mom wouldn't.
No, my mom, obviously. Imagine you did and you're on our podcast about called Privileged Twinks. I did like when she was like, nothing gives me more pleasure than making Lisa do traditional Mormon things. Because Lisa's clearly never done any of these things at all.
In her strapless dress and her Vita.
Exactly. And never eaten funeral potatoes. Okay, we go to Monica's house, and her daughter is, like, texting her boyfriend about prom, and we find out Monica was the prom queen, and she, like, brings out photo albums, which I thought was funny, because it is, I have, like, 35,000 photos on my phone. Imagine if
That's
I
crazy.
Had a camera, like, all I have is a camera and books. Our house
stacks
would be just, like,
and
full.
Stacks, yeah.
I thought it was really funny, though, when she said, well, back in the day, we had this little box called a camera.
Yeah.
And we had to develop our film. Mm-hmm. We put them in these little books.
I really love, we have a drawer and a dresser upstairs at my house that every once in a while I'll go in that has albums like that from, you know, the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And I love flipping through them. And some of the photos are, you know, 80s and 70s and all that stuff, but it's just fun. Like, I don't know, like, I definitely, like, the cameras are better, and having it on your phone's a lot easier, but there's something nice about, like, the tactile experience of, like, flipping through and looking at old photos, and you can only see them there, they're not digitized or whatever, which we really should digitize those, now that I think about it.
Well, moms are mostly in, like, a giant plastic bin, just, like, loose.
Loose? No!
I've always had good intentions of starting, so I have like a whole rack full of photo albums, and they only have like 4 or 5 pages filled. Because I'm like, well, this one's going to be dedicated for, you know, Halloween's, and this one's going to be, but then I never finished when I started.
There's too many at this point. That's where I get my 30,000 photos from. Then
the plastic tubs are
organized
into. Hester family, Murphy family, friends.
we see her, like, start... This is when it gets a little more sad. But we see her, like, with photos of her mom pulling her hair, and she says, like, I guess we've always been this way kind of a thing. But then she starts crying, and she says her dad left when she was 4, and she's never seen a photo of him because her mom, burned them all or something.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is. Yeah. That struck a chord with me.
That makes me just sad. Like, you would... Even if he was a horrible person, at some point your kid's gonna ask about that, I feel.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I feel like her... Well, one, we don't really have faith in her mother as being a good person
True.
At this point.
I mean, yes.
And, you know, but I could see, like, if she was a decent person and was like, listen, you're like, your father was a dangerous person and, like, you don't need to have contact with him, that'd be one thing. Maybe you could make an argument for, but on the other hand, did he ever make an effort to find her? I don't know.
It sounds like no.
No, but you still want to see, you still, as a human being, interested, curious about where you came from and who your parents are, and if nothing else, photos would help with that, but knowing her mother the way we do, was anyone surprised?
Right. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like that with,
although that is pretty extreme.
It is. Well, I mean, even she says when her daughter was young, her dad, her biological dad, is different than the other daughters. Because mm-hmm. when she was one or something like that, she caught her daughter, like, playing with a bag of OxyContin. Mm-hmm. And then that belonged to the dad, obviously. So she, like, grabbed her and, like, never looked back and got out of the situation. But she still has photos of him for when she asks.
Yeah.
So. And people change. I mean.
Right, that's true.
It's bad. A horrible thing, obviously. But yeah. People might change. And you never know. Monica's dad might be a good person right now looking for her. And
well, the thing is,
the mom's keeping that from her still or something.
And also, just because one person is... he's a bad apple, doesn't mean his entire family, which is her extended family, wouldn't be good for, you know, aren't right, good people or right. wouldn't be good for her. So.
Yeah.
She could meet them.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought it was neat that Monica had kept that for her daughter to reveal to her at some point when she was old enough.
Mm-hmm. That is a part of, like, adopting that scares me. I do feel, not scares me, but like I would like to probably adopt, maybe adopt, we don't know, if we have kids. Like, it's one of two options, basically. But then it just like makes me like sad that they like will probably ask about that and not know about that. And like, it'll have to be a thing that we deal with. And that'll be hard for me, I think.
Yeah.
Because I'm your dad. What if we have a rebellious kid who's like, you're not my real dad.
I think most adopted kids, in my experience of seeing them, they do want to know where they came from and they would like to eventually find their birth parents, but they always refer to their adoptive parents as their mom and dad, or mm-hmm. their dad and dad in this case. You all would always be their number one.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that they're not curious about their heritage,
the roots,
where they came
right.
from.
Yeah.
So I don't think that should make you feel insecure about your relationship with them.
I mean, yeah. I just... it's just
know how you are.
Yeah. Speaking of dad and dad, I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, not Angie's husband.
So Angie goes to dinner with Sean, wearing a literal, like, the most silver shirt I've ever seen in my life. Also, someone on Twitter was like, you know Sean isn't gay because he would have told her to change. He would have told her to change.
Listen, not every gay man has great fashion.
I know. It's just funny. Okay, so she's going to dinner with Sean. Sean gets a coffee. She gets a wine. They literally, like, can't have a conversation with each other.
This was so... awkward.
But didn't you feel like he didn't even want to be on camera? I mean, his hat was pulled down so low.
But also, I don't
you couldn't
blame.
See his face.
I'm sure, because I feel like after the whole gay rumor thing came up on camera, he was probably done.
True.
I will say that I was thinking that the whole time. Like, it could just be awkward because he doesn't want to be on camera. And the last time that she saw him, or that we saw him, was when her dad was at home, and she was like, won't you join me for dinner? Blah, blah, I made dinner. And he's like, I gotta go take a shower. He, like, ran past her. Mm-hmm. Which some people were taking as, like, they don't have a relationship, but I was taking it like he doesn't want to be on camera.
I was, too.
Even though I'm sure in the her contract, he has to be on camera. Like, they're showing her life, and he's a part of her life. So I understand. I understand why he would be not wanting to be on camera after all that, but he has to be, so... So we basically find out that they haven't really had that much of a relationship for, like, 2 years. And it feels like they're, like, together, but they're not really together. And I guess, like, he plays country music in the car, and she hates country music, and says it's annoying. And they say something about, like, a hungry dance or something that they used to do and they don't do anymore. It was all very, like, vague, and I don't know. It just felt like a really awkward conversation. Basically getting to, they don't feel like they have a connection, like a relationship. It's more just like they live together and are roommates, I guess.
Roommates, mm-hmm. With a child that connects them. That's what connects them is Electra.
Which really does not help the cheating rumors.
Exactly.
You're basically, like, giving an exact reason why somebody would cheat.
Yeah, we have a kid together, and you're my beard.
Yeah. It's well, even if up. It was even if it wasn't with men, if even if it was women, you're basically saying, like, absolutely. You just, yeah, you, your kid sleeps in your bed, you don't even know how to talk to each other anymore for 2 years. 2 years?
Yeah.
2 years?
And they keep blaming the kid, and I'm like, the kid's a lot older than two.
Okay, also, is this judgy to say, but, like, I'm not a parent, but you had three children. I feel like you have one kid. I don't... Yes. Would that take up all of your time?
No.
Right.
And if anything, I think it should bring you closer to each other.
Well, like, that's what I was going to say. I think depending upon how the relationship is going, if you really aren't that close to begin with,
uh-huh.
or you're having trouble to begin with, the child becomes your excuse to not... It can take up all of your time if you choose to let it do that, because yeah. You can both focus on the child and not have to focus on your relationship and still feel like you're a family.
I would buy it if you had twins or triplets and another kid after that, and you're just swamped. I could... You know what I mean? A bunch of kids around the same age, all doing different activities. You could sell me on, like, we really just have no time to talk to each other, even though maybe you could work that out.
But no, just but that's one what kid... I'm saying. I think it's intentional. I think yeah. they really have lost the connection for whatever reason, whether it's the rumors or whether it just happened.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, not because of the rumors, but whether the rumors are true and that's why.
Mm-hmm.
And they just are choosing to make Elektra be the center of their life at all times so they don't have to focus on each other.
Mm.
Right.
The thing with people like this, and it's kind of similar to some things that are happening on Beverly Hills right now, too. I know you don't watch that, but I feel like they clearly are okay with whatever thing is happening. They have the kid. They don't sleep together, probably, even though she says they do, but
mm-hmm.
they... have this insane business they built together with a beautiful, giant house. And I just wish they would say, like, we're happy with where that is. But instead, they feel like, oh, we're on camera now. We have to talk about how we're going to reprioritize our relationship. When that, I don't think that's what they want. If they just want to co-parent and live under the same roof, just, I wish they would say it.
I agree with that.
I do,
yeah.
too. That's what I was thinking earlier, is that I think they were happy just the way they were
mm-hmm.
with whatever arrangement is going on. It wasn't until the girls brought the rumor to light that then mm-hmm. they had to defend their relationship.
Yeah. Or till the cameras came into their home, because Angie's, like, on the show now. Because last year it wasn't really in her house that much.
Like, but what did you think was going to happen?
But I even think that once the cameras were in, they seemed fine until somebody started talking crap about
it. And now she has to defend it, and her relationship. Defend it. Yeah.
Because at first, when we first saw them and met them, she said, Elektra sleeps in our bed with us, and we love the... But it wasn't in a defensive kind of way. It wasn't yeah. in a, mm-hmm. we need to work on our relationship kind of way. It was like, this is our life, and we're happy with it. But once the rumor came out...
That's right. Angie, own your truth, Angie.
Exactly. All right, now we're at Heather's house, and she bought a bunch of Wendy's to lay out.
For
Lisa's presents coming in, which is...
So thoughtful.
It is thoughtful. And also, Lisa's been doing a bunch of Wendy's sponsorships, and they actually sponsored BravoCon.
Oh, did
part,
they?
Part, they had a sponsored part at BravoCon, like a booth at BravoCon that all the girls...
Should we go to Wendy's?
No, sorry. No.
Actually, I don't even think there's a Wendy's close to where we live. I don't think I've seen one.
There is. It literally was like a 3-minute walk from our first apartment.
Wow.
In LA.
I have brand blindness. I didn't even notice it.
Brand blind. But on the way in, Lisa like hits a rock with her Porsche.
Oh, it was bad.
It was
bad. On the bottom. I mean, it wasn't.
I mean,
like,
it was
the
like the plastic
work.
Bottom thing they can
but
replace.
But it was like
but...
really rippled.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to hear you guys' impression of Lisa saying, I just hit your rock with my car.
But then did she just say, I've been meaning to have that removed?
Yeah,
do a
yeah.
lot of people Lisa, ride?
I want
you should.
I want to hear your impression of Lisa saying it.
I don't know that I can. I'm not good at Lisa impressions.
No, I'm not either. You impressed. You do the impression.
I just hit your rock with my car.
When did Lisa get smoky and sultry?
I want to hear you guys do it.
I don't know Lisa's voice.
Oh, I just hit your rock with my car. That's bad.
Yeah.
Heather, I just hit your rock with my car.
She's British now.
A skosh.
Heather.
It's the UK British.
You know what I mean? Not.
That's Meredith. That's yeah. British. But yeah, she did say something like, I mean to get that rock removed, which...
Do people run into this all the time? What's happening?
But also, it's like, it wasn't like it was in the road. It's like a roundabout. If you keep your car on the road, then
right.
you're not going to hit it.
And what I thought was funny was when Lisa was like, yeah, you need to do that.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, oh, it was my bad. I hit your rock. It was yeah. like, it's your rock's fault.
Right. You're the problem, not me.
Very typical Lisa.
Right.
Yeah. So basically they like eat the Wendy's and then Lisa says that Jack is irritated that she keeps calling her trip bougie. Oh, and we need to talk about that, I guess. Or did we talk about that last week?
We mentioned it last week. That he's apparently not, he didn't go.
Yeah. Supposedly yeah. she pulled him out. Of the, or
well, we don't know.
We don't know if she pulled him out or he pulled himself out, but he didn't go on the trip.
Allegedly, he was spotted in a different.
I thought he was
city.
Just in a different location. Man.
That's a. I think that's what we thought last week, and now everyone is saying that he just didn't go on the trip at all.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Or he pulled out of it. Whatever. Yeah. But he's not on any mission anymore right now.
Oh.
Supposedly.
But unconfirmed.
So I'm assuming that'll come up at the reunion because the reunion filmed yesterday.
Yeah.
And here we've spent the entire season
with this
revolving
weird, yeah.
around friendships dissolving because of his mission trip
mm-hmm.
that's so important to him.
And judging Heather, or Heather judging it, or whatever, all this
yeah.
stuff.
And now it's just not happening, and nobody's mentioning it?
Yeah, apparently. So she tells Lisa that they're planning this trip, and the reason she tells her is because she's like, obviously I'm inviting you, but also it's Monica's trip, so like, things are going to need to be nice. And, oh wait, does she tell her right here?
No. She had Monica.
Is this in her confessional?
Yeah, she had Monica over, and I think she said that they needed to make peace for the trip, right? But I don't think she asked Lisa to do that. Or did she?
I think she did.
We're getting to the hazy part, guys.
I know, sorry. This is where it was getting about 2:30 a.m. We were. She says to Lisa that she thinks that Monica wants to make things up
oh,
with
that
her
sounds
because
right.
they
yeah.
went and talked.
Right.
Heather and Monica were talking and they then, showed the clip of her being like, okay, fine, I'll make up with her, whatever, I don't care.
And Lisa's very like, I don't need an apology from her. I just like.
She's like, I'll be cordial or whatever.
Yeah.
Which now I'm thinking about when Lisa goes pink sand Bermuda and steals that moment that she knew it was happening already.
I don't think she knew. She didn't tell her about the trip, though, did she? Because Heather, when she said that, was like, how did you know? And you think she was just faking.
Maybe she. I wrote down she says she wants to plan a tropical trip. So maybe she didn't say Bermuda.
Yeah. Also, Bermuda's not super tropical, is it? It's in the middle of the Atlantic.
You're asking.
Oh, wait, no.
You would know
is
more than
Bermuda
me.
Up in. Or maybe that's a different island. What's in the middle? There's one that's in the middle of the Atlantic.
I don't know. You can't look it up. Your phone's recording.
Yeah, that's why I was like, where's my phone?
Okay, so then Whitney gets brunch with Angie, not Whitney. And Angie is, like, excited to have girl time. And she's like, I want to talk about, like, my husband. We haven't had a date night in, like, 2 years. And Whitney does say, like, I feel you kind of a thing. Which I do think when you're kind of wrapped up in a show like this, it is... I understand where it would be hard to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, even, like, we kind of are like, oh, we haven't been on, like, an official, like, thing that we called a date in a while. Recently. But, yeah, Whitney says she feels her, and... But Whitney says she wants to, like, develop herself up right now and all this stuff. And Whitney asks her if she has a better work life than she does a married life. And she says yes. Mm. Angie says yes. And she says that they have sex once a week. But to me, I'm like, if you don't even know how to talk at the table.
Mm-mm. Well, I mean, I don't know.
You can have sex without conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's true, but it just feels like you're uncomfortable with each other.
Some people are very, like, connection-based. I feel like, yeah.
That's true. I mean, you can just...
I feel like it's something if I wasn't speaking to somebody, I don't think I would be sleeping with them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean everybody's the same way.
And I still buy it, though.
Yeah. And she also, right after that, was like, but I need to start organizing that. And Whitney's like, don't organize it. It's not going to be fun.
Yeah, people talk about scheduling things like that. And I was like, that is not a turn. That's a turn off for me. I don't like that.
Well, you hate, if I even say the
word. I don't like agendas.
If I say the word agenda, Travis won't talk to me for the rest of the day. I always come in and I'm just asking about his day. And I'm like, what's on your agenda for today? And he's like, don't ever say that word to me.
It's, you think
now it's not talking
like,
to you.
You think of it as like having an agenda, like having something else. Or do you just
first of all, I think it's an ugly, hideous word. Oh. I don't like the sound of it.
You don't like the sound of it.
No, it's an ugly word. I don't like it.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'd rather like schedule or like plan. I can handle those. Agenda.
Plan?
Just think of it like agenda. It's like, I don't like it. It's gross.
Weird.
And then it makes me feel like I'm supposed to have, like, everything regimented and, like, live in a box and very controlled, like, situation.
That's what I was saying. You think you equate it to, like, having an agenda.
Chains.
Instead of.
Yeah.
Just
slavery.
You're like, what's your agenda? Yeah. What's
plans for the rest of the day?
Right. Yeah. Well, and also, yeah, I do feel like that sometimes when people ask that, they're, like, looking for something. Like, you want me to say something that you're looking for. Like, just ask me the question.
I'm just asking you what you're doing with your day, because I don't know, because we sit in separate rooms and do different things.
Well, the real tea is that I don't ever know what I'm doing with my day. It's all just happening as it happens. I don't know.
So you're a very spontaneous person.
No. I guess. I would say confused.
I wouldn't say spontaneous. He just doesn't want to have a plan.
Yeah.
Well...
It's like Popper.
I mean, yeah, kind of. Except he, I feel like he's very regimented with the farm, at least.
Oh.
When it comes to, like, what he does. He knows what he needs to get done that day. Which I guess you do, too. But, anyway. Whitney, this is kind of a bombshell that they drop and then don't really elaborate on. But Whitney says, like, at their last anniversary, they both ask each other, like, do we want to keep doing this?
Yeah, I guess they were unsure.
They said they were unsure in the moment, but I guess they did eventually agree to keep doing it. But
I've heard of people who do that, like, who have had relationships.
For every anniversary they ask, are we still good with this?
Yeah, yeah. Or it was like a certain period of time, and they'll, like, discuss, like, do we want to, like, are we happy? Do we want to stay together? Types of, like, and I think it's people who weren't really about marriage. They were, like, in long-term relationships, but weren't, like, trying to make it legal. And but, they would have, like, an assessment. I don't know.
Well, then she says she doesn't believe that humans are supposed to be monogamous. So that makes me wonder if they just kind of, like, said they aren't going to have an agreement or something like that. I don't know. Why would she say... I don't think you would say those words if you weren't implying that you were going to not stick to them. I don't know.
Yeah. Are we going to talk about that?
If you want to.
No. I think humans are capable of monogamy, but I don't think it's like especially natural.
Huh. Well, unless you're a duck, according to Angie.
Yeah, that was the way. Yeah, because some species are monogamous, but most are not. And I don't know. I feel like, what? I think it's capable, and if that's you want to do.
No. I do think, like, if you get to a point and you're saying, like, I'm not happy for X, Y reasons, but I still want to be with you, and you want to, and you trust the other person, you want to explore things like that. Like, I think that's kind of where they are, is what it sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of relationships, we get Hanging On by a Thread, the number one podcast in America.
I gotta say... I did like this scene in the sense of, like, I feel like they are actually good talkers on a podcast.
I mean, Seth,
I just don't like that this is their storyline.
That they are in a marriage.
Every time we see them, it's just this little podcast thing is happening.
I feel like it's trying to promote people to listen to their podcast rather than part of the show.
Yeah, I agree with that. But, yeah, I mean,
but Bravo has no skin in that game.
People do that all the time, though. I mean, Whitney's business event.
It's not her whole... Prism's not her story.
But that's what I was going to say. That it's okay to show that.
True. Yeah.
But this seems to be their entire... All they... Their mm-hmm. whole storyline.
Like, she literally has nothing else happening. Or talking about or doing anything.
I think I said this last time, but... If my whole brand... Or if my whole storyline was going to be this podcast, and I was going to, and I was also a multimillionaire, mm-hmm. and I was putting things into this, I sure as hell wouldn't just go to Kinko's and get a stretched version of my logo printed out on a rectangle paper when it's supposed to be square. I noticed that hanging in the background.
I just think
font stretched and everything.
I just think some people don't know, like they don't like, they just. Did it, and they didn't really, like,
you're renting
it.
A huge house. Take one of the rooms, put two chairs in it, and hang up, like, a pink background and put her logo on it.
Yeah.
Like, do something else besides just, like, sitting at the table. I mean, it's like, they're doing exactly what we're doing right now, but we aren't multimillionaires.
Right.
And we're not having the film crew come in.
Yeah, we're not having the film crew. If we had a film crew coming in for our lives and this podcast was going to be part of it, I would do that.
Yeah.
And you could do it on kind of like a budget and still make it look like a setup, especially if you're renting a house that big that has multiple rooms that I'm sure aren't anything. So I just am a little bit like, put some effort into this, especially if it's going to be your storyline. But you are right. I did think that they were better hosts than I thought they might be because.
Mm-hmm. I really don't like when people say Whoopi.
Is that another one of your trigger words?
I would say I'm triggered by it, but it just feels kind of like you're an adult. Like,
well, Seth is very immature anyway.
Yeah. Oh, okay, but is. Sometimes I find it to be a little endearing in a annoyed sort of way. But like Whoopi is like. This isn't the 50s. You're not five. I don't know what you're doing.
So the part of the podcast you didn't like was when he said Whoopi, not do you all want to take a bath with us?
I thought that was a funny question.
It's funny. It reminded me of like, I listened to this podcast called Why Won't You Date Me? And at the end, she always asks like, would you date me? And I thought that'd be funny if at the end of their podcast, like every time they're like, so would you take a bath with me? Like that could be their little thing that they do. But I don't think that's what he was doing.
I liked how it started off with, like, their podcast being called Hanging by a Thread. When he was like, are we on this because you think we're hanging by a thread?
Yeah, and I would kind of think that, too. It's like, a podcast where we have, like, relationships that are on the rocks. Right. Like, every week.
But then she also said, you're delusional if you don't think all marriages are hanging by a thread. Which I thought was a little, I don't know. What do you
hanging
how do you
by a thread?
Yeah.
Seems like they could break up at any moment.
Right.
I don't like that name of the podcast, and I would not say that every marriage is hanging on by a thread at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said on the daily.
Yeah.
If you don't think on a daily basis that marriage is hanging on by a thread.
Yeah.
Which I guess their point is, at any moment, bombshell could drop, or some tragedy could happen, and it would break you up like that.
Mm. Yeah. What I can't believe is that they asked the craziest place they've had sex, and instead of saying, like, a car or a church, she literally said work when Justin just got a new job and was fired from his last one for being too sexual on show. That's crazy that she would say that.
Yeah.
Like, just make just something up or say, like, oh, we're kind of boring. I don't know. Say anything else.
Lie, Whitney, lie. Yeah.
No,
don't say the head
like,
of HR.
The head of HR was there.
Yeah.
And Justin's like, moving on. I really hated his little Fendi beanie.
Beanie, yeah.
I didn't dislike it, but also sometimes I'm like, it's just a little obnoxious.
Yeah. They do also reveal, well, I guess it's not a reveal, but they talk about, and I don't think they've talked about this before, that when Justin's dad was dying, he couldn't be there, and so Whitney was like holding him while he died.
Holding his hand.
I know, but I mean, like,
she did
physically...
kind of make it sound like he was like laying in her arms at first, and I was like, "What are you doing? What? Why?" I'm like, what was that? I was also confused by the way it was brought up because they said like, "What's the hardest time you've been through?"
And I thought it was going to be like a
marital issue,
and I think that's what
so
he meant.
I was like, "Why was this a marital issue?" But it wasn't.
She just meant that was, she was like, let That's me think like, about the hardest time of my life.
She's like, I'm going to spin this into a positive story.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to be like, last year at our anniversary. Yeah.
Well, and I was like, did he resent you for that?
Right. But she might have meant like, it was the hardest time. Like, both of them were very, it was hard for her distraught. To do. He'd lost his dad. It sounded like the mom was in some sort of.
Well, yeah, why were they putting their hands
together? Yeah, they said it was a notebook situation.
Yeah, were they, I didn't watch the notebook. Did they, like, both die or something?
And the last thing of the notebook is them dying on the same day and they're in bed.
Oh, maybe, what if that happened?
She said it was very notebook.
Yeah. But then she didn't say when your dad died, or when your mom and dad died. Right.
But I didn't know if maybe she had, like, Alzheimer's or something and so didn't know that.
Probably something like that.
I was confused.
So, but as far as it being hard, the hardest time, you know, he just lost his dad. She was going through all that. He couldn't be there. I mean, it was probably very emotional for both of them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Not like a hard time in their marital life.
Mm-hmm. And Meredith got emotional.
Right. Because her...
All budget-friendly podcast talk aside, the two times we've seen them get the most vulnerable was on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that, seeing that side of her mm-hmm. and him. Then we basically wrap it up and Meredith says, I love you guys, it feels like very different from how we thought the season was going to go.
Yeah. I feel like there's also like a bond, you know, when you go through something kind of traumatic or like a special circumstance, you like bond with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think housewives who, even if they don't always get along with each other, you know, like, nobody else knows what that was like for you guys. And, like, I think it... And barring, like, really big disagreements, they tend to, like, still have that camaraderie.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So then Heather shows up to the Pilgrim event early because she's, like, throwing it. We find out they're wearing aprons and bonnets, which I don't think they ever put the aprons on.
No more costumes ever!
But I guess she said it's like what she was like, these bonnets and aprons kept our ancestors like safe when they were on the trail.
Kept the dust out of their eyeballs. Yeah.
She was being very sarcastic.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
How the women had to wear them because of keeping, I forget what she said, but it was very Heather humor.
Yeah, exactly.
I liked it.
And they talk about like how it's funny that Whitney says it's funny that Heather left the Mormon church, but now she's, like, putting us all right back into it time and time again. And Monica shows up and says, hi, Lisa. And Lisa just, like, sips her drink and doesn't say hi back.
Can I go back to the bonnets, though? To me, oh, yeah. One of the funniest thing was Angie in her big old...
That she has worn so many times this season.
I know. Normally, I'm like, okay, the really rich ones never show the same look twice.
Yeah.
Even the same purse.
She is relatively new, so she might not got the memo. I don't know.
If my whole thing was I'm going to wear cool sunglasses all the time, I'm going to wear different ones. But it was hilarious with the bonnet.
And then those big old glasses.
She was like, I can't wear a bonnet. Have you seen my hair? And I was like, your hair's in a bun. It's perfect for a bonnet.
It is.
What are you talking about? And it actually kind of looks good with the big glasses. But I was like, this is like a retro modern look. Like, what's happening?
Someone on Twitter screenshot her in the coat, glasses, and the pink bonnet and was like, try explaining this to a Mormon pilgrim.
God.
Okay. Also they did this little weird pan of the goats and they like did like subtitles on the goats and it was like, did she just call me a bitch? And I thought that we were, every time they showed the goats, they were gonna like make up some fake storyline for them, but they didn't.
No. I know, that would have been good.
You know, I had, I was just thinking about it and I was like, oh, I think I had ancestors that went like
out to Salt Lake.
Yeah, like, on the little wagons and stuff like that. But then I realized that wasn't true. Because I do...
Don't you have Mormon family members?
Yeah, but they were So a lot of my great-grandmother was the youngest. I want to say of 12. I can't remember the exact number, but it was more than 10. And some of her siblings did become Mormons and moved out west. to Utah or Nevada. I can't remember. I think Utah.
Just not in the 1700s.
Well, it was the 1800s. The late 1800s when they did all that. But it was that would have been in the 1900s. So, she was like born in the 20s. So, sometime after that.
Yeah.
So, they were not in wagons.
No, they were not in wagons. No.
But there weren't cars.
Without air conditioning. There were
cars. When were the first cars?
Without air conditioning. Kind of the same.
Yeah.
When were cars with your windows down?
There were definitely cars in 1920. Yes.
Oh, wait. 1886 was the first car. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why? In my head, I was like, cars and TV came at the same time.
Gnar.
Okay. So then they all, like, go to churn the butter, and they cheers. And someone says, like, what did they used to say for cheers? And Heather's like, they said, get your ass over to the barrel and shut up because you're a woman. Yeah.
Shut your mouth because you're a woman.
And then they do this little scene where Heather's like, you have to shake it vigorously. And then someone's like, this is dirty. And for Heather's like, yeah, well, you've done worse. You've done.
We've all done this
for longer than 6 minutes. Yeah. And then they show a little montage.
Yeah.
And
I enjoyed the innuendo.
Yes.
It was really
It was very shake weight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, very shake weight energy.
Yes. And then Meredith in her confessional was like, I raised my children never to give up, and there's like no butter on this table. So
I will
not be stopping.
And every scene you see her.
They shook those way more than 6 minutes. I'm sure they were filming for like 2 hours.
It also still looked like cream.
No. Yeah.
And I think like when like eventually it like starts to form like a solid lump.
Yeah.
And the liquid changes color. So it's like,
I think they just didn't do the right type of milk or something, or recipe.
It's just heavy cream. I think that was cream. They put cream in it.
And what else?
Sugar. That's all it is.
They put some sugar in it.
I don't think you have to, though.
No, she said if you wanted, or salted. She said if you wanted salted butter to put salt in it. But you can't just shake cream in a jar for 6 minutes and it's going to turn to butter.
Yeah, 4 hours, apparently.
Well, okay, also, when you do shake it and it does break and form the solid, you know, you have to take the butter out and then you have to wash it until the water runs clear for it. And that takes like a little while. So even if they had butter in the jar, when they're done, you don't eat it then.
Okay. So then they make these little pioneer dolls things out of fabric and wrapping around their heads. Do you remember the names or do you want me to tell you the names?
They were Molly creepy. Mormon. I remember that one. Yeah.
They were creepy.
Trina the Trekker.
Angie's was Margaret.
Yeah. Celestial.
Was it Heather's like Eunice or something?
Eunice. Yeah, and she had her in her confessionals. So she kept that thing.
Because I thought one of my great aunts that went out to Utah, her name was Enoid, but I think she stayed in Florida. Hmm. But Eunice, I feel like, was another one. I feel like that was one of their names.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. Wasn't that Heather's? Was Eunice?
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. And then
I always think of that. Never mind. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, then Monica put a scarlet letter on hers because she's like reminding them all where they came from. And I don't know what all she was talking about.
I was confused by that because the scarlet letter was, you know,
Puritans.
And signaling out prostitution or some other sin. So it wasn't like you were supposed to welcome those people back in. They were ostracized.
Yes. That's what the letter was about.
She's saying she feels like she has a scarlet letter on her.
Yeah, but then also, yes, but then she did explain it, you know, in the moment by saying forgive and welcome. Do you feel like I don't think they've been the most welcoming of groups.
I was going to say, before this, I feel like they were.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I mean, maybe not the most welcoming, but like, she's fit in and she's been having all these conversations with Heather and Mary and everybody.
I feel like she's very chaotic energy in comparison to them, but I also think there's a difference between her and them in like the socioeconomic way, and I don't know that they behave the same. You know what I mean? Like,
I agree.
Sometimes I'm like, they just seem a little like she's doing too much for them because it's different from what
it's very different energy than them normally. Yeah. Yeah.
So I get what she's saying about like not feeling at place.
Yeah.
But
all I could think about was that she hooked up with her brother-in-law.
Right.
And then has a scarlet letter.
Yeah. for 18 months, no less.
Yeah. Okay, this whole time Meredith is still shaking her butter, which is the theme of the rest of the thing.
Yeah, double-fisted.
I just had a better idea for my intro.
Oh, do tell.
I am literally shaking butter. Lisa should have made that joke in the moment.
Yeah.
Okay, so then they sit down to eat Pioneer Comfort Foods, and Heather says, this is mac and cheese, which our ancestors would have wanted us to enjoy. Which yes. They definitely did not have mac and cheese.
No, they might have.
Pasta?
If I remember correctly, macaroni and cheese was first, as we understand, it was first made by somebody who worked for, it was either George Washington or the third president.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that was like the late 17, early 1800s. So it was around by then.
Okay, interesting. Mm-hmm. They have this whole talk about the funeral potatoes, which Lisa's never had, and they all kind of are like, what? You're a Mormon and you've never had these?
Funeral potatoes.
And Monica's like, I used to have them all the time when I was a Mormon. Yeah. I'm like trying to be like, you're not a Mormon.
But it does kind of bring up the fact that all these things that Lisa keeps saying, I can wear strapless dress to my church, and I can, it's okay that I'm drinking tequila, and then it's like she's never had the funeral potatoes. And it's almost like she, like Heather has been saying, she isn't a different religion altogether.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like, I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Heather is struggling with leaving the religion but keeping the culture. Whereas Lisa is in the religion but does not have the culture.
Exactly.
So it's not that it's a different religion per se. She's just doesn't have any of the hallmarks of traditional like Mormonism because she's not from there.
Yeah. And I do feel like Heather's a little jaded that Lisa got to have all these things that she never got to have, including like she doesn't have a relationship with any of her family at all because she does the things that Lisa's done her whole life. And yet Lisa can call herself a Mormon and Heather can't.
Right.
I agree. I think that's the whole issue, right?
But at the same time, I think you have to like step out of yourself and realize like Lisa's not like that's your family's choice, not Lisa's. Lisa's not preventing your family from having a relationship with you. They are. Because they're holding on to these. Like,
but I think it's the church relationship that she doesn't understand. Why can Lisa still be involved in the church and be called a Mormon and be part of the Mormon community when she has done all these things, the same things that Heather has done, she's no longer allowed to be in the Mormon church.
But I also get the sense that, like, I mean, I think it's because Lisa hasn't done any, like, serious infractions.
Like as divorce?
Especially if she's, like, a quote-unquote East Coast Mormon. Maybe
but owning a tequila company?
I know. See, I don't understand it either.
That's and choosing about religion that we all have problems with.
But I also feel like Heather's family wouldn't be friends with Lisa, based off what Heather's saying.
That's true.
Like, even though Lisa's been accepted by parts of the community or whatever church she's in, I still think the more orthodox Mormons probably wouldn't have anything to do with her. If what Heather says is true. And if they do, then that's bizarre.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I think it's okay, you know, in the Christian religion, it's okay that you're lying and you're stealing and you're cheating, but it's not okay to be gay.
Yeah.
I think that's the same thing Heather's struggling with.
It's
okay for her to own a tequila company and to dress like she does and to not ever go to church, but it's not okay to divorce. That's the deciding factor that makes her be thrown out.
Yeah.
I think that's what she's struggling with.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes me feel like, just the whole thing makes me feel bad for Heather. Like, she just wants, like, in a perfect world, she would have both. But
exactly.
She can't.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Lisa does kind of feel like she has both, yeah. Okay, so then Heather decides to play this, who would you throw off the wagon if there was too much weight on it? Which, about, like, if you would this whole dinner to be, like, a patch-up moment, why start with Lisa in a game where she has to pick someone when we know there's only one person she's gonna pick?
Which franchise did the who do you trust the least? Who did that? Because this is on the same level, the same energy.
It is.
I can't remember which. Who
I feel
that.
Like it was a girls'
who
trip.
Who at this table do you trust the least?
Like an ultimate girls' trip.
It was something. Yeah. This was a very loaded. Yeah, as soon as she said it, I was like, this is like, oh, no, we're good. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, it gave me the same vibes as the name which you love about this person and which you hate about this person. I forget what game they called mm-hmm. that, but they played that earlier.
Pricklies and...
Yes!
Warm and fuzzies.
Roses. And, roses yeah. and thorns.
Yes.
But they
yes.
called it warm and fuzzies and pricklies and...
Pears? Prickly pears?
Not pricklies and pears.
Pricklies
cold
and
pricklies.
Cold and pricklies, yeah. It gave, as soon as she said it, that's what I went back to.
The housewives love bringing up stuff like that at a mm-hmm. dinner table because you know it's going to cause drama.
Yeah. I mean, Heather was earning her paycheck.
She know. Was. But she was also giving a little like, I don't, why are you, why'd your mood shift so much? And I'm like, why do you think your mood shift so much? You made her play this game.
But see, I think that is very telling of how the seasoned people, the ones that have been on it before, are like, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Why is this triggering you so much?
I
whereas Monica
that vibe
being
too,
the very
yeah.
first one on the show is like,
yeah.
Why are we doing, you know?
I did feel at the True. End of it, I was like, they're not giving her the, like,
leeway.
Well, I understood what they were saying, though, because they were like, you were going after her. But at the same time, this is her first time experiencing a lot of this.
Yeah.
Like, you can't expect her to.
Right. And for them, it's like, this is
punches.
What we're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Just
let it
roll off
they,
on you.
This is not the first time for them.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
So Lisa says, I'm a big supporter of women, except for the one woman at this table who is nasty to other women, Monica.
Da, da, da. A monologue.
And then she says, what is nasty is making comments about how someone's parent doesn't want them. Which is nasty.
Yeah,
agreed.
Was, yeah.
We've all agreed on that. But then Lisa's like,
yes,
well, it's also nasty to call your mom Ted Bundy. Which is true.
Like, but
I don't know if she
was
calling
she
her
said
mom Ted Bundy.
Somebody that kills their prey and eats them. And,
yeah.
And then in Whitney's confessional, she's like, I don't know that much about serial killers.
But Ted Bundy didn't eat people. Dahmer did.
That was Dahmer.
Yeah, and then basically Lisa and Monica do their little thing that they've done multiple times now and just kind of go tit for tat with each other, mocking each other. I did like when Monica was mocking Lisa in a voice like this, and then Lisa was like, oh, you mock me so much. You must love me or something like that. And she's like, no, if I was mocking you, I would talk like this.
I really vibed with Monica on this because, unfortunately, this is something that I do and slash love to do. When somebody comes at me, I will imitate them 100%. I, you know. And
I've seen it.
Yeah. So I was like, textbook me. I love that.
And
you.
I don't really understand why everybody jumped on Monica because Lisa started out with a very nasty comment.
For sure.
And they're both at each other, back and forth, back and forth. Either stop it all.
I think it was the volume. You know, like, Lisa kind of kept it. I mean, she was being, they were both being the same. But Lisa was keeping it here, and Monica was, like, escalating the tone. Well, the volume.
And also,
and
you're never going to
people...
get anywhere from
yeah.
doing something like that. Especially first, right off the bat.
Yeah.
You'll get somewhere by being like, I don't appreciate you saying that. Why do you think that? Or, but I guess she did say, like, well you're the nasty woman for calling my mom this. So,
yeah,
they both kind of jumped right into
neither
it.
One of them, like, it's not like the group should have chose one or the other.
Right.
Per se. But I think they were all kind of saying Monica's and, like, because Monica was the one that was raising the volume continuously.
But
and
I
feel that. Shouting
why,
doesn't win the argument.
I do understand why she felt like the same way she felt like her mom doesn't back her and she's always being ganged up on and
yeah.
why that triggered
out.
Her.
Yeah.
Because I understand
like,
that too.
We're both being nasty. Why are you all just calling me out?
Right.
Yeah. I agree. It does feel like they're the core four. And they're going to do
That's
it.
That's true, yeah.
Because it was kind of similar. I mean, Angie was on, I guess, the other side now. But it's kind of similar to earlier in the season when Angie and Meredith were going at it. And everyone took Meredith's side, even though she was being nasty.
That's true.
So even the ones that don't really love Meredith in that moment took her side.
It's not reading. I mean, they had a similar plot line or whatever in the Beverly Hills season with their core group that's been around for a long time. But for some reason, it doesn't read the same to me. Does it to you?
It's not exactly the same, like, of a clique of, like, us versus them. Uh-huh. But I think there's also less them. And right now, Angie's right. taking the side of the majority, so...
Monica's just out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But also, can we talk about Angie throwing a glass, physically breaking a glass on the ground over all this? Like...
And nobody reacts.
And nobody reacted at all.
Do you think they just cut it? Do you think people react?
No, I literally... Like, we're not gonna... They showed her, like, from behind, and then immediately showed Heather from the front, and the glass is still, like, shattering in the back. And Heather didn't even react at all. Yeah. And then after that, Heather's like, can we go talk? And, like, just walks up.
I feel like the can we go talk thing was a little bit after. I feel like a little time had passed. Because she said, you're not acting the same. She said, I'm just being quiet. Like, I feel like she had to have been
They cut
moody.
Some stuff in there.
Yeah. But I could see people not reacting to a glass. It's very, like, not, you know.
But I would be like, are you kidding me? We're on, like, someone else's farm at this event that Heather paid for, and you're gonna break glass everywhere on purpose?
Yeah. But she's Greek, and she yelled Opa first. So.
Right. Yeah.
I don't care.
If there's one thing we know, it's that Angie is Greek.
And it flew into, like, the bricks and the grass, and I'd be like, who's gonna have to clean that up?
My thought was, do a plate, which is easier to clean up and less dangerous than a glass.
Yeah.
Or nothing.
Or also, just, like, clap. Do something else, yeah.
She tried tinking her glass at first, though.
Oh, yeah, that's the same thing as clapping or screaming.
Right. Smooch. Stop arguing.
It's also, it's kind of, like, telling of just Angie as a whole on the show. She breaks a glass and no one even cares.
Yeah, they're like, all right. This bitch over here.
At least it was less robot-like.
Opa! Monica does say in her confessional, like, all this was triggering to her, reminded her of, like, how her mom treats her and, like, other people ganging up on her when she feels like there's more than one person in the wrong in situations like that. Heather pulls her aside, and to me, this whole thing made it kind of seem like Heather was kind of like, we have to announce this trip. Like, buck up.
Yeah. Yeah. It gave a very, like, we have a job to do. Please get it together.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's over here.
Yeah, this is when I was
Bring
like,
your butter.
This is when I felt like, okay, you guys have been doing Housewives for a while, and you're used to this, and she's new and doesn't know what's going on.
Right.
Instead of being like, okay, newbie, this is going to happen a lot of times. You just have to roll with the punches, and I'm sorry you're going through it, and we've all been there. I'm so sorry. But this is what you're going to have to do. She was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, didn't you get the memo?
Why are you mad?
Right.
Why are you like this?
You were going tit for tat.
Yeah.
It's just tit for tat.
Yeah. But if you go back to the, like, and, you know, they've all had their little breakdown moments.
Yeah, so definitely.
And breaking glass
moments. So I don't think this was very fair, but I understand, I get what she's saying. Like, this is Housewives. What are you, like, hello?
Mm-hmm.
But.
And they also really, I think production really, really discourages them from talking about the show in, like, a fourth wall type of way.
Right.
So she's like, what are you doing? But she can't say, mm-hmm. we've all had to do this on the show. Mm-hmm. You need to change your attitude and, like...
They could say something like, in this group, we just fight certain ways. And, like, this is just what you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was very, like, and truthfully, Lisa, they were both going at each other pretty hard, and Lisa was fine.
True. Lisa was fine enough to come over and say, we're fine, I'll apologize for whatever you need me to apologize for, basically.
Right.
She's like, can we just stop this whole thing?
Yeah.
Even though, at the beginning, Lisa's the one ignoring her completely.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's kind of what made me think, aha, this is just what they're used to doing, they know they have to do it for TV. And it really doesn't mean a whole lot to them.
Yeah. But then when Lisa was like, okay, this person's really upset.
I guess
I'll come over and I'll apologize.
I still think they get hurt with each other, and I still think it matters to them. I just think they know that they're at work, and there's, like, certain things you just have to deal with that you wouldn't deal with in your normal life
mm-hmm.
that you're going to have to put up with.
Mm-hmm.
And Monica's not there yet.
Well, And who knows if Monica ever will be, because Monica has some really deep scars that she's dealing with that I don't know if she'll ever think of it as just it's the way it is.
True.
That's a fair point. I feel like she does have a pretty distinct background, but I think there's other housewives that have been through really tough things and who excel on the show. So I could see her pulling through. But also not. She might be like, this isn't great for me.
Yeah.
Although I feel like she's winning.
I know, everyone says she's winning.
Yeah. So I don't know.
So then, yeah, Lisa basically does the whole, like, I'm sorry. Like, she never really says I'm sorry. But she's like, I shouldn't have judged your mom on one time meeting her and saying she seemed nice. And then after that, been like, but that negates all of your feelings about her. Or, like, things that happen off that
right,
I haven't
just
seen.
Just because I saw your mom be nice doesn't mean she hasn't been mean.
Which I do think that was all she was kind of looking for. And yeah. I wish she would have just said that at Whitney's event instead of doing that whole thing. But then Monica apologized to her for calling her ugly. So it seems like things are kind of fine. We go back to the table, and apparently there's, like, hidden things all around. Like, shells. What could shells mean? Ocean! Ocean! And then pink sand, which I would have never gotten there from that.
I've never heard about that either. I don't know.
Well, she knew an island.
Yeah, she did say island. You're right.
So.
So then she gets to pink sand. Lisa gets to pink sand. And then I guess there's like a little skull in it. They should have had a close-up of what they were talking about.
Well, and the big point part of this, too, is that, like, Heather is now like, listen, I need you to, like, give life. We're throwing a trip. We've planned
for
this
you.
And
around
you
your
know, we're
family.
Planning it around you and your history. And, like, I need you to, like, you've made peace. But Monica's now been, like, leached of energy. She's spent, as she says.
Done.
She's done. And she's saying she might not go on the trip at this point.
Right.
Which Heather, I do which think is, we know she goes.
Which is putting, you know, popcorn in Heather's teeth. Because she says, hello. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Again, this is work, honey. Show up, please. Thank you.
But apparently there was a little skull in it that I don't know what was supposed to represent. But she said...
The triangle.
She said it represents the devil's triangle because we're all going to hell.
And we'll meet there or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and I don't think that was necessarily what she was supposed to say.
Again, I get Heather's perspective on this, but I also kind of relate to Monica because I feel like sometimes when I'm, like, over something, it's hard for me to, like, refine my, like, energy or joy for the situation. Don't make that face at me. I know you know. And I'm saying it, you know. It's just not always easy to snap back into, like, you know.
No, yeah, it's not.
When you're like, all right, whatever.
In her confessional, we do get her saying, I know why Jen never had good things to say about Heather. So this is the first little bit of, like, Heather versus Monica that we're going to get.
I know. And I was like, why are you throwing shade at Heather? She came over, tried to see what was wrong. She's the one that's planning the trip with you. She tried to pull it out for you, saying we're planning this trip around you and your family and your grandma. And
I think she just didn't, in that moment, want to do it. She didn't want to have the announcement, even though she had to.
Yeah, I feel like she's
ignore the dog coughing or choking in the bathroom.
The water went down the wrong pipe.
I think so. Oh, but go get her and get her off the carpet.
even thousands of miles away, we're still going to have animals throwing up in the background.
See if she wants to go out.
I think she's okay. So, but someone on Twitter said, like, why are we still, like, talking about Jen when we know she lied to make all of her money? Like, why are we holding a candle to what Jen ever said? So yeah. Monica's whole kind of point of always bringing Jen into it is just kind of, like, stupid.
Right. And also, I mean, I think she just wanted Heather to support her. And then, like, if you're saying, if you're my friend or whatever, you know, don't push me on this because clearly I'm having a hard time. Whereas I do feel like they were being a little hard.
But they did have to announce this because next episode is probably going to be them going on the trip or two episodes from now. Like,
it had to be
done. This is the storyline that has to be said at this party. That's the whole point of the party.
Yeah. And it's you and me that's throwing it.
Yeah.
And
we
want to
have a good
trip,
time. How are we going to have a good time if you're being a sourpuss about it?
But two, we need to progress the plot. And you're not even willing to say it. Or maybe not even go at this point.
Right. So I understand why Heather was frustrated. And I could see, and I could see why Monica would be annoyed by being pushed on it. Although I don't think it's like, I don't think it should be like, oh, you're a villain.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Heather did a pretty good job of regrouping and trying to get it back together and trying to, I don't think she was like being nasty to Monica in that instance.
Right.
That was not a proper perception.
Then Heather's like, where's that fun Monica? And Monica says, y'all killed her real quick. She's dead, like Taylor Swift said. Funny because it sounds so more dramatic than just like, you killed my vibe. It's like, she's dead. She's no longer going to be the same in this group ever again. Mm-hmm. Which maybe she's not. I don't know.
I doubt it. But.
So then we get a next time on. There wasn't too much of this. Like, it seems like Heather and Angie are talking. And they are, like, talking about what they're going to get with for Monica. And then Whitney is, like, in the car. And she's like, I got a bad message. And clearly it's going to be about Lisa.
Because they beef at the end.
Mm-hmm. We don't know what that's about. But we do see Lisa and Meredith discussing, like, karma coming back to get you. I'm assuming that's about Monica.
With the rumors.
Oh, maybe Angie?
Yeah, maybe.
And then, yeah, Whitney tells Lisa, it's all about you. And Lisa says, fuck this, fuck you.
Yeah.
Which is a big change from the Lisa and Whitney we've seen.
And we saw Monica and Heather sit and go. I guess this is where she tells her she's going to go on the trip.
Oh, probably,
and
yes.
Heather's like, you're giving me, like, you're excited, you're not going, now you're going, like, what's happening?
Yeah. But I'm interested to see what the Lisa and Whitney drama is about.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately,
I bet it's Lisa said something bad about Whitney and she came back to her.
I can believe that.
I agree with that.
Unfortunately, I'm very hooked on the phone call of the season, and that's what I want to get to.
I know.
But so then it'll be over.
Yeah, then it'll be over. So,
but then the reunion.
That's true.
I really just want to get to Bermuda and be like, what's happening?
Do they normally film the reunion with like a couple episodes left, right?
Yeah, they typically, it depends. I think there's probably some outliers, but usually they wait. What they'll do is they'll get all the women, like the day before, I think, they show them the last couple of episodes that haven't aired,
mm-hmm.
so that they can talk about them in the reunion, which is also part of the reason why some people get really hot, because it's like the first time they've seen certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so usually, yes, it's the end of the, we're approaching the end.
So there'll only be like two or three or four more episodes.
So do you think the phone call happens in Bermuda? Because they're on a trip.
It does.
Oh, it definitely does.
Yeah.
That's why everyone's like saying if it is about the lawsuit, it's going to be crazy because it's the trip that Heather planned for Monica. And Monica's on the trip with Heather. And then if she finds out she's suing her, that could be the drama of the trip.
Yeah. I mean,
the phone call.
I can't see. I mean, it definitely is a shorter season, which I'm annoyed by. But a lot's happened, though.
I think next season will be longer again because people are watching this season. Whereas people stopped watching last season.
Yeah. But then at the same time, some of the longer seasons are like
too long.
They do drag. So I guess maybe the shortness is a blessing. I don't know.
But like last season, I was happy about it because it was the Jen of it all. Mm. It's like how many episodes are we going to watch Jen say she's innocent when we know she's mm-hmm. guilty? Mm-hmm. That one I was kind of like, I'm glad it's over. But this one, it feels like it's good. And it's just getting
ramping up.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, back to the phone call, I don't know why she would say, why would she do that to us?
Yeah.
But maybe us is just...
Us could be Beauty Lab.
Beauty Lab. Whereas we took it originally as us, as the group of mm-hmm. women.
But the rumors have changed somewhat. Now some people are saying they don't think it is. The lawsuit's not the phone call.
People are saying that on Twitter. And also people are... I don't know how people say they know these things. But people are saying that the reunion does not look good for Heather. And that Whitney, Meredith, and Mary have all re-followed Monica after all this. So, I mean, that's not a rumor. We know that part. But the rumor is that the reunion made Heather and Beauty Lab look worse than the Monica stuff. So.
Wow.
But also, who's spreading that rumor? Yeah. And right. Who knows what's true? So.
Yeah, exactly.
I also don't understand where people are saying that the phone call is like the biggest show shocker in the history of the franchise. And if it's just this, that's...
That's why I think people are trying to say on Twitter, like, it has to be more than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's how I feel.
But then, if it's more than that and it's something insane, and they all are against her, what changes in the reunion that makes them these people follow her back?
Right. I don't know. That's why I'm excited. Let's get to it.
All shall be revealed.
It has to be that.
But not next episode.
Right.
All right. Well, I think that just about sums it all up. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe. Follow us on Spotify. I put up posts, polls, and questions you can answer there. If not, just subscribe and give us a review anywhere else. We also have an Instagram called @privilegedtwinks, where I post weekly just like memes and stuff I see on Twitter, things like that. I probably won't post today just because it's Thanksgiving and I'm ready to be done with the day. But normally, I'll probably put up a story. You can reply to that. And yeah, this has been Privileged Twinks.
Yeah, thank you
so
much.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Travis.
And I'm Tara.
Three T's in a pod. And thank you so much for listening.
Happy Turkey Day. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.